So since the end of September, we've been looking at these 13 points that really started out, 13 things mentally and spiritually strong people don't do. It was 13 things mentally strong people don't do. I added the spiritually to integrate all these points that did that really do originate from our spiritual foundation. This morning, I'm going to be starting off by sharing a couple of true stories, some examples really, and then after these stories, we'll be wrapping up with a scripture passage actually at the very end. And we're going to be focusing today on point number 6, which we skipped over last time to save for today. Last time we talked about points number 7 and 8. Today we are focusing on number 6. And with that, I've got a little story to share with you. And it began this way. Laura, last weekend, was preparing for a youth group. And where they're going to be talking about, or they started talking about last week, the 6 most important decisions that you'll have to make for kids, which I got to tell you is an excellent program to equip your kids for life. And she was preparing. She said, listen to this. And it's something that has stuck in my mind, such a great illustration, of something that when there is seemingly a small or insignificant issue that, if not dealt with at the time, why? Because it's out of sight. It's not in the direct line of sight. And so when something's not in the direct line of sight and yet is causing an issue, it can create this illusion or delusion that it's insignificant or isn't even there, when actually, over time, the small invisible problem to the eye is getting worse and worse and worse. And then, where all the it seems like, wow, all of a sudden, from nowhere, things break down and there's a catastrophe or crisis. Or an accident, boom, illness, dis-ease that's been building up, system breakdown, relationship breakdown, and nobody is more surprised when that happens than us, right? And we all know this, and we've seen this, and we've experienced this happening in our lives in many areas. We know how this can happen health-wise, regarding our physical health, regarding our emotional, mental health, regarding our relationship health. Regarding our ability to deal with stress, that can build up. And the story is this. In England, there was a train, and this train was carrying 550 passengers, and it was traveling from Enschede to Schiphol Airport. And it passed a rerouting switch, switch number 3B. And it's one of these switches that, right, you go over it and the things shift on the inside, and if it shifts this way a little bit, it sends the train this direction, shifts this way a little bit, and it sends a train in the other direction. Well, what happened was there was just a small defect in the building of a switch. There's a little ring in it, insignificant, couple dollar part. And what happened was, because of this small defect, when the train went over it, the first half went over fine, and then this little few dollar piece broke that caused the whole thing to switch, and then the rear end of the train, rear half of it, derailed with 550 passengers. This little teeny insignificant ring, invisible to the eye, a couple bucks, surrounded by this heavy-duty piece of equipment, broke suddenly. The reality was, though, is that it just wasn't as smooth as it was supposed to have been. And because of that, every time the things had switched back and forth, little by little, became a little more stressed, a little more stressed. Next switch, a little bit more worn down. But after a while, suddenly snaps. I don't know if this sounds a little close to home for any of you. A little stress is building up. The little rubs seem to be out of sight. But you know, if you go to your own life and if you take a quick little personal inventory, that maybe there are some small little things that are going on, adding up in your life. In your relationships, those small, out-of-sight things that may be building up down the road, down the track of your life. As we think about things like cholesterol and exercise and sleep, real easy to ignore for a long time. Stress. Relationship-wise, you know, negative comments, little, you know, little barbs. People in the household, they don't seem to do any real damage, you know, on the surface for a long time, until one day, kaboom. And you go, what did I say? It was just, you know, just this little thing. And the relationship derails, and you're mystified. How did this happen? Now, the same is also true for positive things, the positive little things that you do in your life, spiritual positive actions that build up over time, positive emotional actions, physical positive actions, relational positive actions that add up for our well-being. The positive actions of a little five-minute prayer here, and then the next day, 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 and the next day. Positive actions of a heart of gratitude, the one day, and the next day, and the next opportunity, and the next. Acts of kindness, over the long haul, the daily workout, long-term nutrition, kind words to your loved one. You look great today. Thank you very much for that. Cumulative positive actions of those things over the long haul, and that's the one story. Where we think about the small choices and the small changes that we make in our lives, negatively or positively. Say one thing more about that, which is self-talk. Those messages that we, the stories that we tell ourselves over and over again, 60,000 times a day, are the little messages that we tell ourselves that build up, that heal or stress. Oh my God, you know, I don't think I can take another day. Ah, what a day this is. Oh, cloudy, wake up. Oh, cloudy day, rainy day. Although church attendance does increase. How to say, you know? Just saying. You know that, or you can wake up in the morning and go, hey, rise and shine and show the world what you're made of. And I remember, you know, Jim Comey, director of FBI, that's what he woke up to every morning. And he said, did it have an effect on him? Absolutely. How'd you like to wake up to that? You know, and if your kids are grown, go ahead, say it to your spouse. Hey, rise and shine. Show the world what you're made of. Those are the little rings in your life that you can easily ignore. And this is true for us personally. This is also true for us as a society, as a whole. Little things that build up over time that we can easily ignore about our environment, national debt, just a little bit more. Deflection of personal responsibility. A cultural shift away from church. That's what's happening now. You know, where we as a culture, we're investing more and more heavily in sports and entertainment. That's king. And then we're mystified by the results. Wow, what's happening to our culture? We go, huh. You know, investing in violence. Hundreds of violent messages every day that our kids get exposed to every time they watch TV. Watch the shows. In the media, in entertainment, the brain-feeding machine of garbage in, garbage out with our children, news, TV shows, movies, mystified by the results. Huh. Rub, 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 boom! Out of nowhere. In the spiritual life, we contemplate these things, and we contemplate a different template than the world does. We do focus on a different template. When we think about the word contemplate, that comes from contemplum, where com is to commit to memory, to study or examine closely. And then template, what are we examining closely? The template, the design of life and the designer, the pattern. And that includes health and lifestyle, what to avoid to prevent breakdown, what to maintain, what to build up for the good. Good community, good relationship. You know, the stuff that you can get away with. You know, you can get away with an awful lot of stuff for a long time. And then in your 40s and 50s, that's when you start to feel some of it. And that supports the illusion or the delusion that everything's okay when you're ignoring these things. You know, in the short term, it can appear that you can get more out of having an ice cream or reading the newspaper than working on your spiritual life. And I say all this because this is what Jesus is trying to do with everything. This is what he's laying out everywhere. Particularly in our scripture passage, where he's talking about what are you investing in that you don't notice what it's doing for a long time. What are you investing in or not? What's the payoff? Long term, what's the cost? And with all of this and everything that he says and does, only one priority that he has in mind, and you know, oddly, that's you. The only priority, your well-being. The quality and happiness of your life, that's it. No ulterior motive. Nothing he's getting out of it. Everything he says and does leads to this end. So knowing the designer, he would say, and knowing the design, the stuff that's underneath that we can't see because we don't know, we haven't built it ourselves, but he does know the design, and he knows that he knows the track that we're on. Right? And he would say, you know, wouldn't it be good to pay attention to some things that you might not notice or think about yourself, but wouldn't it be good to know this ahead of time? Story number two. Our son Scott, who is 25, he had been in Hawaii for 6 months working as an assistant to Ram Dass, who's a spiritual leader. And when he went over there, he knew he wasn't going to be driving his car for a while, so what did he do? He canceled his collision insurance, because that's expensive. The liability he kept, that doesn't really cost anything. And he came back, and he was benefiting from the short-term cost savings of the no collision insurance, but then he forgot to reinstate the collision insurance. Now, I have a bet. I have a feeling that instantaneously, all of a sudden, every single one of you has this ability to mind read, and you know what's going to happen next. You can see into the future. You have the gift. Because you can guess what happened, because one day he called up and he said, I got hit by a van, and the van is owned by the town of Cambridge in Massachusetts, where he lives, and they're self-insured. You can imagine a bureaucracy that is self-insured, and how fast things are going to be moving there. He wasn't at fault. 2.5 months later, not a thing has been done yet. Second mind reading ability trick for you that you will score 100% on. When do you think he reinstated his collision insurance? Next day. Now, there are some things that we can do that with, some that have relative little risk. But you know, if he only knew, right? If only someone had told him. Which, of course, someone did. What if someone would be able to tell you ahead of time what to attend to? If they really knew. What if someone were able to tell you what to invest in that's most important? And why are we surprised then when it comes time for collection? Had we only known, right? Story 3. This story reveals to you a lot about some of why I live the way that I do. And this story reveals some of why I have the orientation of life that I do as being sacred, as sometimes being fragile, as never taking anything for granted, as why I care deeply about some of the things that I care very deeply about, and you know what, frankly, why I really don't care about some things that some people really do care about, and I don't. It's a story that will share why I experience life as sacred and something really to behold very, very dearly, and to be celebrated, and to be dealt with kindness, never taken for granted, but to be lived and just to dive in to it fully. Take some risks that are worth it. And trying not to live too safely, but to live fully, to love fully while you have the chance, to give to others. You know what? While you have the chance, while you have the ability, while you have that gift to share, to be able to serve. While you have this immense, incredible opportunity to be able to serve and not to save it all for later, you know? That life is not to be kept too safely in its box. And why do I think this is a story I've got to share with you about my mom? And my mom was a great mother. She was a great mother. She was very loving. She was very energetic. She worked hard. She worked too hard sometimes. She worked herself to exhaustion sometimes, especially over the holidays. She was full of life, and she was a teacher and loved children. She was an early elementary school teacher. In the last 15 years of her life, she taught at St. Joseph College in West Hartford. She was teaching preschool. She was working with the nuns and the teachers. She was teaching the teachers how to teach as well as teaching the kids. She was a saver. She was a saver, and she was thrifty. Waste not, want not, she would say. And you know, God bless her, because she took great care of us kids and my dad, and she put herself last. She always put herself last, you know, like so many moms, so many dads. You know, I really thought that she liked the burned toast. You know, she would say, no, that's okay, I'll have the burnt toast. It's like, okay, all right, I'll make it burned, I don't know. She was going to be able to enjoy later, you know. She would take care of herself later. She would relax later, sometime. She would enjoy some of the fruits of life later. And then, you know what? Thank God, later was finally in sight one day. Finally in sight. I graduated from college. I'm the youngest of four. My two older brothers, my sister, they graduated from college. We all got jobs. We all moved out of the house. And it was finally later. And then that May, she decided she was going to start living. And so she said at 57 years old, she said, you know, I'm going to retire from my job and I'm going to start doing some things with your dad and we're going to travel, we're going to enjoy life. 57. And she did. They had been saying, you know, they had a little money now that they had saved for later, and it was now later. And retired in May. And if you think that I think about this, because I'm 57 now too, you're right. Because she retired in May. In June, they got the boat kind of spiffed up and ready. And in July, they took a little sailing trip. Actually, I think it was to Block Island out of New London. And they almost made it, but then they had to turn around because she had some stomach pains. And so they turned around, headed home, went to the hospital. She had some surgery. They opened her up, full of cancer. And that was July. And she died December 1st, 4.5 months later. So 5 days short of her 58th birthday. Why do I have the sacred view of life that I do? You know, as kids, we used to say to her, you know, we'd say, Mom, we'd say, relax a little bit. Would you please just enjoy? Say, Mom, you know, don't worry so much about cleaning the house. Do something to make yourself happy. And she was going to. Actually, I tell you one thing, when she, memory a little popped up back in my head, is that when she had the chemo about probably 5 weeks before she died, and she was very thin and lost her hair, and she was walking across the carpet, she was actually walking towards me, and she saw a little something on the carpet, a little string or whatever, and she started to reach down to pick it up, and she stopped. And it was like time stopped. And she didn't get it, and she just stood back up, and she laughed. You know, one day the train just derailed. No more time, the investment called in. She was a beautiful woman. And I thank God that she invested in us the way that she did. All four kids turned out very well. Well worth it. But you know what? Wish that she would have taken the gift of life out of the safe more often and out of the saving zone. I wish that she would have not put some things off so much. Like joy. Wish she would have taken her foot off the gas sometimes and maintained herself, keep herself on track a little bit more. And with all of this, with story one and story two and story three, I think about her scripture passage that I will now read as we close. About how we're called to invest in this life. To not hold back, to take some risks. I think about how we're called by God to tend to this life that we've been given. And all of this, you know what all this is called? All this is called stewardship. That we're given a gift. Tremendous gifts. And we're called to take care for it for the time being while we're passing through. I think about how we're called by God to invest and to use and what we're called not to put on a shelf, to take this gigantic gift. And how big is this gift that we've been given? Well, in the parable, Jesus talks about the talent, and the talent that he's referring to was the largest unit of currency at the time. One talent was a very, very, very large sum of money. If you had 5 talents of gold or silver, you could be a millionaire by today's standards. So a talent, one talent was worth 8 years' worth of wages for a worker. So one would be, you figure, around $240,000. Some say less, some say more. Everyone agrees, large sum. And with that, there was a point. And the point is, we're stewards of this gigantic gift that we've been given, caretakers of this gift from God. So the questions are, number one, where does this gift come from? Number two, what care are we to give it? Part of that is, how do we use it? How do we invest it? What's the right spiritual way, not just to use money, but that's part of it. That too comes from God, but what else comes from God? Are people given in a different measure? Our life, our body, what we call now our talents. Now we call them our talents. Where talent up until the 1100s to 1400s was only understood as a sum of money. But then it became something else after the Middle Ages. The point is, it's all from God. It's all given. It's all up to us to use our money, life, talents as God would have us. Why? Only one reason. Our joy. Our happiness. No ulterior motive. This is a behind-the-scenes instruction manual of the things that we can't see, of how to get to this rich, full, satisfied life by the designer of the system so we don't get caught by surprise. How not to be too safe in using our gifts to multiply. And so we'll close with this parable. You have part of it in your bulletins. Here's the whole thing. Jesus said this. It's better to listen because you're not going to hear you don't see the first part there. He says, "For it is as if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents. They would hear this as, to one he gave over $1 million. Gave it. To another, 2. To another, 1. Each according to his ability. And then he went away. Just went away. Now the one who received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who received 1 talent dug a hole in the ground and he hid his master's money. Buried it in the ground. He was safe, he thought. Story continues, but after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled the accounts with them. And then everyone who had received the 5 talents came forward. The one who did came forward, and he bringing 5 more talents, saying, "Master, you handed me 5 talents. See, I've made 5 more. What could I have done with this gift?" His master said, "Well done, good and trustworthy servant. You've been trustworthy in a few things, so I will put you in charge of many things. Enter in the joy of your master." The one who had the 2 talents also came forward, saying, "Master, you handed over me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy servant. You've been trustworthy in a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Enter in the joy of your master." Good job. And the one who received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, "Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping what you didn't sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, so I went and I hid your money in the ground. Here, have what's yours." His master answered him, "You wicked and slothful servant. So you knew where I did you that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers at least, and the return I should have received what was my own with a little interest." So he said, "Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have not, even what they have will be taken away." Behind the scenes instructions of what's going on underneath the track of life that we're on for your benefit. Number 2, our son Scott, what would he have done Only had he known. Number three, my mom. How do we use and care for this gift of life, never knowing? Never knowing when that loan's going to be called in. Number four, what has God given to us? How are we spiritually and abundantly, abundantly to use it and invest it and give it? That's what God wants you to know. Your gift. Amen.